You're listening to Radio City Talk. Matt Jones here on Full Time, and it's time to do another World Cup Memories here because the World Cup is fast approaching, and one man who played in the tournament back in 1986 is former Everton and Scotland striker Graham Sharp. Good afternoon, Sharpie.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Great to have you on. Now, let's just talk about your international career a bit first of all, because you came into the Scotland side in the mid-80s during a time when there were a lot of talented players down here in England from Scotland who didn't necessarily got the international recognition that they perhaps deserved.
Yeah, you're probably right, Matt. I think it was a lot of competition for places. You know, I was down at the time at Everton, I was doing well, but that didn't guarantee me a first-team spot, if you like, in the Scottish national side. There was Kenny Dalglish, Steve Archibald, Frank McAvaney came into the frame, Charlie Nicholas, Paul Sturrock, Steve Archibald, you know, so there was a lot of competition. Andy Gray was also in there when I made my first cap, so there was a lot of competition. So it was unfortunate I didn't make enough appearances as I thought I should have done, but unfortunately in those days it was a lot of competition, which was only good for Scottish football.
It certainly was, and there were talented players throughout the side. For yourself, when that call finally did come in 1985, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I was absolutely delighted. I'd been playing well with Everton, and I got the call up. I was originally called up for a squad in preparation for an England-Scotland game, or a Scotland-England game, sorry, at Hampden Park. I was down to play, I remember, on the Friday night. Jock Steen pulling me to one side and saying, listen, sorry, I've got some bad news for you. And I'm thinking, what's happening here? Because I was in the team, I was picked to play against England at Hampden. But because of the league situation down in England, and we were playing Coventry in the last game of the season, other teams had complained and that Everton had to field a full strength team, so that meant I had to come away from the Scotland squad and go and play in Coventry in a dead rubber, if you like, because we already won the league. So myself and Andy Gray were pulled out of the squad, went down to Coventry, played the game, got beat 4-1, and then we were on a plane to Iceland. So I made my debut on a World Cup qualifier, but unfortunately for me, I missed the opportunity to play against the old enemy.
That would have been a fantastic occasion. Let's just talk about the qualification campaign then, because you come into the Scotland side during this campaign to reach the World Cup in Mexico in 1986, and they actually reached it in kind of heartbreaking fashion.
Yeah, well listen, we won that game against Iceland and we were going quite well, and then we had to go through a qualifier, which was against Australia. And we managed to beat Australia over the two legs there. If I remember right, Frank McAvaney scored a couple of goals in the game at Hampden. Then we went over to Melbourne to play over there, and I think it ended in a draw. So we went through to the next qualifying stage, which was obviously against Wales, and my teammates Neville Southall, Kevin Ratcliffe, Pat Vandenhout. And listen, it was fantastic to go through, but it happened on the night that unfortunately Jock Steen, our manager, passed away on the touchline. So we went from the euphoria of winning and going through to the World Cups in Mexico in 86, but also, you know, we lost a manager, and probably the greatest manager that Scotland's ever produced. So it was a little bit bittersweet, but we got the job done and we got through. So it was something to look forward to, but it would have been better looking forward to if we knew our manager was going to be in place.
How difficult was it to handle that moment?
Very difficult, because, as I said, we came off the pitch and, you know, we were absolutely delighted, everybody hugging each other. And as we made our way down the tunnel in Cardiff, some news came through that the manager had collapsed. So even at that stage, you think, nothing untoward. And then when we went into the dressing room, it was really, really quiet. And I remember Jock Steen's friend, who was our masseur, Jimmy Steele, was really shaken up. So we thought, oh, this is more serious than we think. And then about 10, 15 minutes later after that, we got word coming in. I think it was Graham Souness, the captain at the time, came in and told us the sad news. So it was really a really, really tough time. You know, obviously celebrations when the final whistle went, but even, you know, leaving the stadium that night and all the Scottish fans were aware, and even the Welsh fans were aware that football had lost a great man. So it was a really tough time for us. Wales, great to look forward to the World Cup, but really saddened, you know, that the night was blighted by the death of such a great man.
He certainly was a great manager. You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm Matt Jones here, and we're doing a World Cup Memories with Graham Sharp, who played in the 1986 tournament in Mexico. Let's get on to the tournament then. And I imagine when you got picked and were part of the final squad, you were absolutely over the moon.
Yeah, delighted. You know, obviously, you know, there was a lot of speculation in the newspaper who was going to get picked, who wasn't. I think Kenny Dalglish pulled out, you know, so that made it a little bit easier for the forwards. So there was another space available there, and probably it was me that took that space. But you know, I was delighted to get over there, but really, really disappointed. In those days, Matt, the Scottish media had a big say in who was going to play. They were really, really strong, especially the newspapers. So they inevitably picked a team. You know, 9 times out of 10, they were picking the team. So the players knew the team because they read the papers before the manager actually told them. And that was really sad at the time. But they seemed to have a bias towards, you know, Scottish-based players. Like myself and Frank McAvenny that year had scored an unbelievable number of goals, yet didn't feature, never featured in the first two games. But we played West Germany and lost, and then we played Denmark and lost as well. So we went into the third game against Uruguay knowing that we had to win to get through to the next stage. I was picked in that game, but unfortunately we drew the game 0-0 and we never advanced in the tournament. But disappointing in the fact I only made one appearance, you know, considering that I did such a good season at Everton. But I think in the games he went for Steve Archibald, and I think he went for Paul Sturrock in occasions kind of thing. So whilst it was probably one of the highlights of my career, I was really disappointed that for the first two games, not to even be on the bench, you know, not even to be making the numbers. I'm just sitting at the side of the pitch watching the game and having no input whatsoever. That was a big disappointment for me. But listen, in the final game, we had to win. Great to play in it, don't get me wrong, but disappointed in the result.
What a horrible group it was to be part of, though, with Uruguay, Denmark and West Germany.
Yeah, Denmark were really strong at the time, and obviously West Germany, as they always are. But Uruguay was a game where, you know, obviously there was a couple of players. Francescoli was one of the Uruguayan players who played in Europe and had a big name, and what a really good player he was. But, you know, they were really, really, how can I say, typical South American at the time, where nothing mattered. You know, the rules didn't matter. Some of the things they got on off the ball were incredible. Alec Ferguson, the manager, told us at the time, don't retaliate. You know, it's important that you don't. And listen, let me tell you, it's the hardest thing in the world when people are spitting at you and doing all sorts of things, you not to retaliate. But they got a man sent off after about a minute, I think. So down to 10 men, we thought, yeah, it might be easier for us, but it wasn't the case. You know, a strange situation. It was a game, I think all the players thought that Graham Souness was ideal to play in, but for some reason the manager dropped him. And it would have been ideal for Graham in that game. But listen, we're up against them. We couldn't break them down. So it was disappointing to come home. But listen, as you quite rightly said, Denmark were strong at the time. West Germany, I think we scored first against West Germany. I think Gordon Strachan might have scored first, but they were too strong for us. So disappointing to come home early, but overall I would say great experience. But, you know, from a personal point of view, maybe should have been better.
I was going to say, what is it like playing at a World Cup in terms of that experience?
When we went to Mexico, obviously the big thing everybody would talk about was the heat. And I think we just went to Mexico, and at that time they just had an earthquake. So it was really difficult circumstances for the people in Mexico as well. So we didn't really know what to expect. Obviously, we went before the tournament, we went over to Los Angeles, and then we went to Albuquerque, Santa Fe, to try and acclimatise and get ourselves used to what we were going to experience in Mexico. But it made really no difference because it was incredibly hot, really, really hot, really difficult. And away from home for that length of time as well, it's really difficult. You know, and it wasn't the times of mobile phones and phoning home all the time. It was difficult to contact your family at home as well. So, listen, it was a fantastic experience. But I wouldn't doubt it. You know, and that's why, you know, at this moment in time, Jordan Pickford and all the young lads going over there, they'll enjoy it. You know, times have moved on, they'll enjoy it. Probably the interesting thing, Matt, is a story. We went over to Santa Fe, Albuquerque. And can you imagine this happening now? Northern Ireland were over at the same time, and they were staying with us, and they arranged a hasty friendly. And we played on a spare piece of grass with jumpers for goalposts. Two international sides with jumpers for goalposts. Now, would that ever happen now? And I remember being there, and we changed with the Irish lads as well, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, what is going on here? But I'd have to say I scored in that one, so although it doesn't come up in the record books, and managed to score another goal in the behind closed door friendlies with jumpers or goalposts.
Brilliant stuff, Sharpie. Some brilliant memories. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing them with us on Radio City Talk this afternoon.
No problem, Matt. Thank you.